Cineplex, simulcast, dancer size, frappuccino. What do these words have in common? They're what Lewis Carroll called portmanteau words, new words formed by putting together parts of two other words. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg says the popularity of portmanteau words suggests something about the role of the media in shaping the English language.
In 1811, if you'll cast your mind back, Massachusetts Governor Elbridge Gerry enacted a redistricting of the state that was highly favorable to the Federalist Party. One of the districts was so oddly shaped, in fact, that the painter Gilbert Stuart remarked to a newspaper editor friend that it looked like a salamander and drew a head and claws on the map to bring out the resemblance. More like a gerrymander, said the editor, who published the picture in the next day's edition of the newspaper. That was the origin of the word gerrymander, which somehow acquired a soft G over the course of the following century. It had the distinction of being the first portmanteau word to be coined in America, a word that is formed by blending together the parts of two other words. Actually, it wasn't for another 60 years that the term portmanteau word itself would be invented. Its author was none other than Lewis Carroll, who took it from the name of a large leather suitcase with two hinged compartments. It comes up in Through the Looking Glass, just after Humpty Dumpty has recited Jabberwocky, when he's explaining to Alice how he formed the word slithy out of lithe and slimy. It's like a portmanteau, he says. There are two meanings packed up into one word. At the time Carroll was writing, though, there were only a few portmanteau words in English. Dumbfound was one, formed from dumb plus confound, and so was twirl, formed from twist and swirl. But until the 20th century, this was a decidedly minor way of making new English words. The vogue for portmanteau words really began around the turn of the 20th century, with input from several pretty disparate sources. The Soviets made this a favorite way of forming the names of policies and organizations, like Comintern from Communist International and Agitprop from Agitation and Propaganda. The resolutely anti-communist Time magazine was no less creative, coining words like Cinemogul, and so was the columnist Walter Winchell, who coined infanticipating for expecting a child. Most of these examples didn't really catch on, but corporate America was more successful with product names like Pepto-Mint and Dictaphone. And journalist and publicist had a high time coining words like smog from smoke plus fog, motel from motor hotel, and brunch from breakfast plus lunch. The process picked up more steam after the war, and it's been at full throttle in recent years. The entertainment people have given us Cineplex, Blaxploitation, Infotainment, Dramedy, and Rockumentary. Politicians have given us Medicare and Reaganomics. Business people talk about permatemps, infopreneurs, and co-opetition. Technology is full of these words, simulcast, netiquette, cybernaut, emoticon, and all the other terms popular among the people that we call the digerati. There's no escaping them, even in daily life. Hey, after we finish our dancer size, why don't we slip out of our tankinis and go out for a frappuccino? Fantabulous. In the past few generations, English has introduced more portmanteau words than in all the previous generations going back to Chaucer. And this doesn't take into consideration all of the portmanteau corporate names that seem to make up half the stocks on the tech indexes. Microsoft, Trinitech, Unisys, Metricom, Infoseek, Logitech. There are naming consultants who have programs that can grind out endless lists of these things. Why have people given us this pullulation of portmanteaus? In the words of the old punchline, because they can. Since the time that newspaper editor came up with gerrymander, most successful portmanteau words have been coined by journalists, press agents, government agencies, corporations, people with the power to broadcast their coinings via the full apparatus of modern publicity. What better way to signal your influence than by putting a stamp on the language itself? This helps to explain why portmanteau words are usually so transparent. In this sense, they're the opposite of slang, which percolates into the language from cliques and in-groups, and which is usually designed to be opaque to people who aren't in the know. You hear some Gen Y person saying, "Wow, that's whack." You have no idea whether the word means good, bad, or expensive. But dancer size, simulcast, frappuccino, they wear their meanings on their shortened sleeves. Portmanteau words are the sound bites of modern English, calculated to catch on the first time people hear them. And their popularity is an indication of just how much influence the media have had on the language over the last 100 years. I open a newspaper or drive down the freeway, and the word shagadelic is staring out at me wherever I look. I guess it's a fitting linguistic note to end the century on.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center. I'm Terry Gross.